The following is an encore episode of Hour 1 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy.
Turley Frequency here live on Archangel Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Turley, and for the next 2 hours, boy, have we got a show for you. Today we are talking men. That's right, we have Joe Conduit, chairman of the National Men's Conference, is joining us in the next segment to talk all things masculine. And you know what? I really hope it helps Mike and Reed. I really do. Top of the hour, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you're invited to join us. Text me, 251-928-2111. Text me your prayer request now. Lines are open right now for your text. Or call me at 9 a.m. Central on 888-928-0881. And we'll take your prayer requests live on air. That's right. We're going to take those requests live on air. Story time today concludes our tale of the undercover saint walking the streets of the rabidly anti-Catholic London of the 1670s, and we left him hanging. He was on a boat on his way from Catholic France to very Protestant England. So stay tuned for that in the final segment. As well, we're going to be talking Mardi Gras, and we are going to be speaking Mardi Gras museums later in the show. So, how does that all sound? Well, in that case, let's saddle up and get this show on the road. Welcome to the Turley Frequency here on this Friday. You've made it this far. Pat yourself on the back, pat yourself on the head. We have made it together to the end of the week, and I don't know about you, but it always feels like a relief to get to Friday. Now, I've just been passed a note. This sort of thing happens on live radio, okay? So you start thinking you're going to be talking about X, and you work the show out in your mind, and then suddenly the producers hand you a note, and I've got a note here which says, Kevin, do tell everybody about the new sound effect. Well, I would if I knew anything about it. Reed, what is this sound effect?
We have a little bit of a surprise, Kevin. From now on, hopefully, when we have a caller, we have this sound effect that's going to pop up automatically.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
So hopefully that doesn't cause any interruptions and shenanigans and different things.
No, I think that's fine. So the minute somebody calls in, we're going to have Lionel Richie coming on air.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We'll have Lionel alerting us to the calls from now on.
Uh-huh.
We're also going to work out a way to get that Adele clip in there too, but we'll start with Lionel Richie.
Uh-huh.
I know you're probably tired of Adele for the time being.
Reed, just answer me. Whose idea was this?
it was everybody's. You know, we wanted something that would indicate to the host that there was a call instead of, you know, me having to necessarily interrupt you. Obviously, now Lionel can come on and interrupt you, so that'll be good. You can be mad at him instead of me.
Okay. Listen, Reed, during the break, would you mind getting Michelle on the phone for me?
Yep, I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-oh.
And listen, you can knock that off too, okay? I've got enough blood pressure problems. Stop all that. Stop it.
Okay.
Okay, listen, Hypnosis, yeah. I was rooting through the articles in today's New York Times, and I came across this article about what can hypnosis do for your health. And I thought, well, yes, what can it do for your health? Now, I don't know about you, but I was a little bit unaware of the history of hypnosis, and I wasn't really sure that hypnotherapy, as it's termed, is actually a legitimate medical practice. Are you? Maybe you've been hypnotized. Call me, 888-928-0881. Or maybe you hypnotize people as an occupation. Maybe you are a hypnotherapist. Call in, 888-928-0881. We'd love to talk to you about this because it's fascinating. Now, I know the word mesmerism, and I know vaguely in the back of my mind that it comes from the German physician named Franz Mesmer, who made a splash when he said he could cure physical and mental ailments by putting people in a trance, something to do with realigning their magnetic fields. This was back in the 1770s, and he became very popular, and I think eventually it was discredited. But then in the 1800s in Scotland, a Scottish surgeon named James Braid started using a similar technique of fixed attention to cure headaches, alleviate pain, and to anesthetize patients. He called it hypnosis after hypnos, the Greek god of sleep. And it's from that that today's practice of hypnotherapy has developed. Now, I came across a really interesting survey that was noted in this article. I'm just looking down here. Here it is here. Dr. Spiegel was being interviewed by the New York Times, and he said that the ability to be hypnotized is hit and miss, right? Because I don't know about you, I've never been hypnotized. In some ways, I would like to be hypnotized, but I've never been. But what he's saying is that research suggests that only between 10 and 15% of the population are hypnotizable. Right? While another 10 to 15% struggle to be hypnotized or can't experience it at all. And the rest, the majority, are somewhere in between. So they're mildly susceptible to it, moderately susceptible to it, etc. So I don't know about where do you stand on this, right? Are you somebody who is hypnotized really easily, or are you somebody who nothing is going to shift you? Let me know. Call in, 888-928-0881. And you know we have an experiment at the moment going on every single morning here where we have open lines. So if there's something else you want to talk about, something on your mind, something on your heart, you want to get it off your chest, I'm here. I'm here to talk. 888-928-0881. Or if you've got some questions on masculinity in the next couple of segments with Joe, then do think about phoning in on that as well. 888-928-0881. So hypnosis. Are people really hypnotized? Is that really what we're up to? And is it more than just a stage act, right? Because we've all had the various magicians, etc., who hypnotize people on stage. But this is something else. This article is really about hypnosis as a treatment, hypnosis as an aid to our health, a way of making us healthier, if you like. And that's what I find most fascinating in this article, because I never really thought of it as such. Now, some of the treatments that are alleged that can be helped through hypnotherapy are things like anxiety and depression and other mental health conditions, presumably rather mild anxiety and mild depression, but also things like sleep problems and irritable bowel syndrome and even quitting smoking. Now, I've heard of this before, and you've probably heard of celebrities who have sometimes gone to hypnotherapists to be hypnotized so that they can somehow stop smoking. And this seems to be quite common. But the article, I guess, is hedging its bets, as you'd expect from the New York Times. It's a good article, right, in the sense that it has a great headline which captures your imagination. You click on it and you start reading down it. But as you're reading more and more down it, I would say that the article becomes more and more vague about really what is hypnosis, what good it does, and is it a credible treatment for anything, okay? Because is it all in the mind, I ask myself. What do you think? Hello. Talk to me. Oh, somebody's called. This is great. I like this jingle now, Reed. Yes, I like this.
Yep, that is pretty nice. It's Elliot. I just spoke to him briefly a second ago, and he told me who he was, but he wouldn't tell me where he is at. So no information relating to that.
Okay.
So I'll put him through now.
Thank you, Reed. Elliot, you're through to the Turley Frequency. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, thank you, producer, for me, for not telling my whereabouts. Mr. Turley, we spoke last week, and
yes,
so much has gone on. Do you remember?
I do.
What should I
call? It's good to hear your voice again, Elliot. How can I help you today?
Listen, I don't have much time. We don't have much time. In fact, I only have about 5 minutes and 27 seconds left. Does the name Charlie from Delaware ring a bell?
No.
Mr. Turley?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Charlie from Delaware?
No. No Charlie's in Delaware.
Mr. Turley. Mr. Turley, listen up. I have it on good authority that you are in danger. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Does the name MK Ultra mean something to you? Try and remember. Work with me.
Yeah, I mean, MK Ultra.
MK Ultra.
Yes, I know. I've heard of MK Ultra. It was a CIA secret operation back in the 50s and 60s. I think it was closed sometime in the 70s. It was something to do with mind control. I know that.
No,
it's quite common.
No,
it's being talked about.
It was not closed. That's what they want you to believe, Mr. Turley. They want you to believe that. In fact, I know for certain that your name is not Kevin Turley. It's Charlie from Delaware. Listen. Does that name ring a bell? You were talking about hypnotism a few minutes ago. Were you or were you not talking about hypnotism?
Yes, I was talking about the article in today's New York Times about hypnotherapy, in fact.
All right, there you go.
Have a view on that?
Mr. Turley, I need you to connect the dots. I need you to connect the dots. Back in 1975, the government, MKUltra, did a brainwashing experiment whereby they reprogrammed people in the U.S. and they were trained on how to do accents to cover up who they really are. Mr. Turley, we'll let your listeners buy along with that. Charlie is your real name. I recognize your so-called fake Dublin accent anywhere. It bleeds through. You're from Delaware. Charlie, you're from Delaware. Am I ringing a bell?
Well, not quite, Elliot. I'm not sure which bell are you ringing. I mean,
listen,
I'm actually not from Dublin. I'm from another part of Ireland. But
work with Mr. Turley. Work with me.
I'm trying
you
to,
have
Elliot.
To
but is there something else on your mind this morning you'd like to talk about? I mean, what do you think of hypnosis?
It's 100% real. That means you have been activated, Mr. Turley. You've been activated. Don't
for
you
what?
Understand? You've been activated.
For
the government has brainwashed you.
Elliot, what am
they
I being activated for?
For a secret mission. And I cannot tell you why.
It's not very secret.
Can we carry this conversation off air? Can we carry this conversation off the air? Can we go off the air for a little bit? Play a commercial.
Elliot, if this is a secret mission, why am I on public radio across the United States, FM, AM, around the world on the internet? It doesn't sound very secret to me.
Because, Kevin, that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that you are Irish, you're from Dublin, Ireland, living in the UK, you're part of a mission. You've been activated. You've been reprogrammed. That accent you do, it's from Delaware. It bleeds Delaware. Oh, it bleeds all over the place, Delaware. I'm accustomed to it. I know a Delaware accent when I hear one, and I know a Dublin accent when I hear one. And you, my friend, are not from Ireland.
Well, this is news to me, Elliot. I really am. I've never been to Delaware.
Of course it's news. Of course it's news. Because you've been reprogrammed. They're telling you to say all of these things. Listen, that Chinese spy balloon that was shot down, who do you think shot that down? Mr. Turley, or Charlie, I should say. Who do you think shot that down?
I think it was the U.S. government, wasn't it? I think Biden ordered that the balloon be shot down, and down it came.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. I had somebody come in.
It was shot down by the federal authorities, wasn't it? It was drifted into, I think, Montana.
No. I can't tell you who shot it down, but it contained reprogramming information. We were all in danger of being reprogrammed. If they had let that spy balloon float in the air any longer, we all would have been reprogrammed.
It's as serious as that, is it, Elliot?
Is it serious? What did you have for breakfast this morning, Mr. Turley or Charlie?
But I always have coffee, porridge, the usual. What did you have?
Ah, they got you good, Mr. Charlie. They got you good.
Well, look, Elliot, we're about to talk to the chairman of the Nationals Men's Conference. Have you anything to say on that, Elliot?
National Men's Conference. Yes, yes. Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I mean, Elliot, I have got no inside information on Delaware, Chinese balloons, MK Ultra. I know nothing about these things in any great depth, I'm afraid. I'm trying to talk about hypnosis this morning, if you've got a comment on that. I mean, have you ever been hypnotized, Elliot?
I was hypnotized once, and it did not go well.
Really?
Luckily,
when was that?
Luckily, I snapped out of it. Luckily, I snapped out of it and came to and had a had an experience whereby I realized things. And once they knew that I was trying to be activated and programmed, I had to escape. That's why I cannot tell you my whereabouts. But you have been activated, and you're in serious danger. We need to reactivate. We need to unactivate you, deactivate you, I should say, is the right word.
And how do I do that, Elliot? Do I plug myself in somewhere, or how does it work?
It goes way beyond that, Mr. Charlie, or Mr. Turley, I should say. It goes way beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to take years of deprogramming. But once you are deprogrammed, you, my friend, are going to thank me, Charlie from Delaware.
Well, it's an interesting theory, Elliot, and I'm glad you're listening to the program. I hope you're enjoying the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio every morning between 8 and 10 Central Time. And we really do value your calls. And, you know, it is open lines, and we're very happy to speak about things like MKUltra, hypnosis, or even programming people for the CIA. Absolutely. No subject out of bounds. So, Elliot, I'm really, really grateful for your call. I do hope you'll call again. And, you know, I think you make some very interesting points. I don't say that I agree with them all or that I even understand them all, but I think you make a lot of interesting points. Hello? Reed, has Elliot gone?
Oh, seems like Elliot has dropped out. He must have thought he was giving up his cell phone location too long. He didn't want to leave that up.
Right. Well, that's fine. I mean, listen, if Elliot, if you're listening, again, thank you very much for the call. We really enjoyed chatting to you. And no, we don't track your location via Archangel Radio. We can hardly get the phones to work here, never mind tracking other people's phones.
We can't track each other sometimes.
I can hardly get hold of Reed and Mike most of the time when they're on the show and they're producing it. So don't worry. We're not tracking anybody's calls. But listen, thank you for your calls. And thank you. And I think the sound effect really is good, actually, Reed. The more I hear it, the better it sounds. So
great.
Lionel and Adele will be welcoming you onto the show as a caller on 888-928-0881. Now, if you've any calls for our next guest, Joe Condit, because he is going to be talking about the National Men's Conference. Now, I'm really intrigued by this, as is Reed and Mike, no doubt. We're all intrigued because guess what? We're all men. And we're wondering, what is it that they're going to teach us at this conference? Are they going to teach us how to be real men? Well, you're going to have to stick around to the next segment to find out. You're tuned to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. And stay tuned until we come back after these words. welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And I'm your host, Kevin Turley, and you are very welcome to this show. Listen, you don't need me to say we live in strange times, right? When the uncertainties or the certainties of the past are challenged, if not upended, on a seemingly daily basis. And not least when it comes to obvious things like male and female, right? Whoever thought that was going to be contentious? As we know, the Bible tells us quite clearly that the good Lord made us male and female. And it seems that there are many, however, in the public square that have forgotten even this. Combine that with a seemingly ongoing crisis in masculinity right across the Western world that has been around certainly these last few decades, and you have the philosophical and theological equivalent of a dumpster fire, and then some. Well, I bring you good news. There is help at hand. Next month, the National Men's Conference takes place in Cincinnati, Ohio. And looking at its lineup of speakers, we're talking impressive. Seriously so. Put it this way, if I lived in Cincinnati, I'd be camped outside the Cintas Center where the conference is being held until I left the box office with a fistful of tickets. However, in the meantime, I'm delighted to be joined down the line by Joe Condit, who is the chairman of the National Men's Conference. Joe, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Kevin, thanks so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure, and God bless you in the great state of Alabama down there.
Joe, I'm assuming you're speaking to us from Cincinnati.
I'm not. I live in Austin, Texas now, but I grew up in Cincinnati. I'm born and bred. And, you know, that's kind of where we're trying to bring back the National Men's Conference. Back in the 90s, 15,000 plus dudes used to travel there because it was actually the first Catholic men's conference that ever was put on in the United States back in 1994. Right. And so we're trying to establish it again as the premier men's conference each year and attracting men from all over the country. So we're hoping you do come grab a fistful of tickets, my friend.
for anybody who's listening, and this goes out, as you know, it goes out on FM and AM in Alabama, but it also goes out across the world on the internet. There may be somebody whose ears are perked up saying, oh, this sounds interesting. So if somebody was to phone in and say, hey, what is this National Men's Conference? What is your elevator pitch, Joe?
Go to nationalmensconference.com. It'll give you all the information. Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen's our headliner speaker. We also have the Archduke of Austria, who's speaking for the first time ever in the United States. He chose this conference to be his premier, his coming out of the gate, as you will, talk. He's part of the royal family, the Habsburgs out of Austria, and any history buff knows one of the most famous royal families in human history. So there's just a lot going. Father Robert Spitzer from EWTN is on the lineup. We've got both the Archbishop of Cincinnati, the Bishop of Columbus, Ohio, along with a panel discussion with some NFL players. It's just going to be an incredible day.
Yeah, I was looking at the website earlier, Joe, and it does look particularly impressive. I mean, just for my interest, I mean, how long does it take to organize something like this?
All year round, yeah. But my company, the Catholic Speakers Organization, puts this on, and it's something that we just felt necessary to society, you know, building men back up, letting men know that they need to be the leaders of their family when it comes to faith and the responsibility that comes along with that, and helping men with, you know, anything they may be struggling with. The purpose of the conference is to gather Catholic leaders from all over the country to one place where at least one time a year they can bond together, fellowship, use it as a father-son experience, but also find resources and meet other friends to help them grow in Christ. And that's what it's all about.
I mean, in a very short few words there, you've summed up really both the problems and also the solutions to this. I mean, it's about men understanding who they are, understanding their role in God's plan, and also something which some men struggle with, which is the idea of fraternity, that men need other men to become better men, would you say?
Absolutely. Kevin, you're dead on. I mean, even the saints say you need accountability and a advisor, right? You need a spiritual advisor. You need accountability. No man can walk alone. And that's what we want to make sure men can do. I mean, you can buy online virtual tickets so people can watch this from anywhere in the world. We have tickets being bought in Australia right now. We've gotten in-person tickets bought from Phoenix all the way to Boston. We want men to know that this conference is to about them. Yes, it's awesome to come here, Father Robert Spitzer and Jonathan Rumi, and you know, in last February I had Raymond DeRoya, Jim Caviezel, and David B. Wright from 40 Days for Life. It's amazing to hear these guys, but this conference is actually about men, me and you, Kevin. getting in touch with each other, helping each other spiritually and maybe even in business, you know, and knowing that we all exist and pulling together so we can bring society back in the light of Christ rather than going the opposite way, which is done since I've been alive and I'm 41 years old.
You're listening to the voice of Joe Condit, who is the chairman for the National Men's Conference, which is taking place next month in Cincinnati, and we'll give all the details in due course, Joe. Do you find that you've got quite an array of speakers there, and you obviously the conference has in the past. I mean, do you find it easy to get people to come to speak?
No, it's like herding cats. You know, I'm so lucky. The good Lord works through fools, and I was just a fool. He was willing to ask to take the leadership of starting the Catholic Speakers Organization. We're now the largest Catholic-focused talent agency in the world. So with that, I'm very lucky. I have cell phones of the right people, and we've built the credibility to where we put these events on and can put them on such stature. I mean, we've rented an arena in Cincinnati. It's where the Xavier Musketeers play basketball. It's 10,500, seating.
Wow.
So we got a lot of guys to get there. And thanks to people like you, Kevin, helping us get the word out. I mean, we really want to bring men from all over the country. I want to get men that put on the other men's conferences in their communities to come and share and meet each other and share in fellowship and bring their entire group that comes to see their conferences every year. So it's a way for them to come enjoy a day. Because you ask questions about putting on these events, there's a dirty secret. Guys like us that put them on, we don't hear one word of the talks. We're putting out fires, you know.
I know.
Anywhere from popping up an aisle to, you know, making sure. So I want this to be a place where the guy that puts on the Texas conference for the men meets the guy from the main, you know, from Kentucky that puts.
That's right. So and I guess, Joe, that's where it says it on the tin, National Men's Conference. This is the epicenter for all the men's conferences that need to develop across each state, across each region.
Thank you. Yes, as men, let's think of it as the Super Bowl of all the men's conferences. It is the National Catholic Men's Conference, the first annual, you know, headlined by Jonathan Rumi. We couldn't get a better speaker for this. It's just a lot of it's come together, you know, and it's and I'm not this smart. I mean, if you look at our past lineups, we've brought in everybody from Jim Caviezel to Father Mike Schmitz to Father Mitch Pacwa to Boss Rutten. He gave his first conversion speech. If you don't know who Boss is, he's a huge UFC fighter, converted to the Catholic faith. I mean, we've just been so lucky, and we've brought so many big, inspiring guys through that we just want to open this up to the entire U.S. so men come and get spiritually fed together from all over the country.
Absolutely. But tell me this as well, Joe, because, you know, this is a year-round apostolate, if you like, in terms of setting it up, getting it, getting the speakers, running it. But you also probably get a lot of feedback from the men who go to these conferences. Talk to me about some of the reactions and some of the legacy that has come out of this.
Kevin, I love that question, because what first comes to mind is the feedback I get instantly every year is a dude will come up to me, multiple, and say, hey, man, I wasn't going to come to this and make time for it, but my wife made me come, and I am definitely coming next year. So the women are more important to this effort than men are in some cases. They're the ones that push them to get there, and then the men get there, and they realize, wow, I just met a bunch of new friends, or I got the resources I might be struggling with. I'm going to keep coming back to this thing. And that's why we literally built a Facebook from bare bones, and it's on the website at nationalcatholicmensconference.com, nationalmensconference.com. You can get on there and connect with all the other men across the world or the country that have been to it. You can create a profile, connect with each other, becomes friends. It operates just like Facebook, but we own it 100%. I did not want men going to a social platform and get the advertisements that we normally see today, which are anything but, you know, Catholic. So we created an actual platform to allow men to connect with each other virtually as well, which is really it's groundbreaking, and we're launching it this year.
It sounds, Joe, that you're not really establishing a conference, even a very important one, as an epicenter for other conferences. It sounds to me like you're starting a movement.
It is. And we have to, Kevin. Like, how blessed am I to be on this show with you right now? You know, I didn't know you yesterday. Now we're brothers. Now you call me and I want to help. We're going to blast your radio show out to over the couple hundred thousand people we have on our email list, right? It's about helping each other elevate are both our missions. And we are. We're trying to start a culture of men in a time where men are being attacked, in a time where Christ is being attacked, and the Antichrist agenda has been carried out to such impactful ways that we need to stop and think, hey, we got to stop telling ourselves, hey, they'll take care of it. Ah, vote for him. He'll take care of it. No, they is us, right, Kevin? They is us. If we don't do something, nothing's going to happen. And that's the call, and that's the cultural movement.
Amen, Joe. If we had a tune on this network, I would sing to that. That's absolutely amazing. Listen, this conference, though, and I think, you're touching at something which some other guests have spoken about. So, for example, on a positive note, because we can sit here and go through all the horrors that are happening day in, day out. I mean, the Church of England at the moment here in London is deciding whether God is gender neutral. To do away with the Our Father. I mean, can you believe it that we've come to this? They can do whatever they want, I know. But we live in very confused time. But one of the other things, one of the nicer things which is developing, and I wonder if this is something to do with the spirituality behind this, is this great devotion to St. Joseph, which seems to be spreading like wildfire.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and I love that you brought that up, Kevin. This is the first time I'm actually revealing this tidbit about the conference. I set a panel of offensive linemen for this event. The first time ever, we got Joe Reitz, who used to protect Peyton Manning for the Indianapolis Colts. We got Ted Karras, who's the center for the Bengals right now. He's the guy that protects Joe Burrow. I purposely got the men that go and do the gritty work that no one knows about. In fact, I don't buy anybody's jerseys in the NFL unless they're offensive linemen, because people have no idea who they are. Why did I do that? The unspoken, the unofficial patron saint of offensive linemen is St. Joseph. That's not recognized by the church. But Ted Karras, Joe Reitz, Matt Burke, who used to play for the Ravens, they'll tell you St. Joseph is their patron saint because they protect the most important thing in the game, and that's the ball and the quarterback. So I'm having these guys come and sit on stage and have a candid discussion in front of hopefully 10,000 men, you know, to talk about protection of the ball and the quarterback, which we're going to relate to protecting your faith and your family.
I love it, Joe. I think this is fantastic. People will be able to relate to this straight away. I know we've got a lot of football fans that listen to this and indeed work on this show. So this is music to their ears. This is incarnating the gospel in something which is really, really masculine and very, very opposite. This weekend, I believe the Super Bowl is on. I'm not going to ask you for predictions on that, not just yet. But it's really interesting how St. Joseph, St. Joseph's devotion, as I say, has really taken off. And we had, as you know, the year of St. Joseph a few years ago. Pope Francis declared that. And it's come at a time when we have this confusion, when we have this assault upon masculinity across the Western world. And just as he is the protector of the Holy Family and the protector of the Holy Church, he's also a kind of role model for all of us. I mean, whether you're a quarterback or an offense lineman or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There's something in St. Joseph, in his wonderful vocation, that all men can somehow identify with. Would you agree, Joe?
Absolutely, Kevin. In fact, St. Joseph is one of the greatest leaders of all time. Now, was he a Steve Jobs out there? No, he was someone that obeyed God, and he did his job, and he did it in a meek manner. He did it well. And he was just an incredible man. He's a great example for all men. You know, a lot of us, ego can get in the way, or, you know, whatever we're struggling with, sin can get in the way. When you look to St. Joseph, you see a man that was not out for the credit, but he knew he had an important job to do, and he did it, and he did it well. And he was a humble servant to God the Almighty, and that's what every man should strive to be.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know how old you are, Joe, but I grew up watching John Wayne and other great movie stars who were real men on screen, right?
Yeah.
But now I realize, Joe, that every single one of them had a little scintilla, a little facet of the true, strong, silent type man who was St. Joseph.
Yes. Yeah, silence can be powerful. You know, growing up, my mother never let me watch any of the new stuff. There was too much junk in it. So I actually grew up in the same TV generation you did with Steve McQueen and all that.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. Those guys, even Steve McQueen, you know, and you think about how they approach situations that got intense and they just stayed calm. And, you know, John Wayne, he just always was about character, always about doing the right thing in his movies. I couldn't agree with you more. And it relates back to good saints like St. Joseph. you know, who protected the most important thing ever to come on the face of the planet, which is his son, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're going to go for a short break. Joe, can you hang on for the next segment?
Absolutely.
And listen, if anybody out there has a call for Joe, if you've got a question about masculinity, your son, your grandson, whatever, 888-928-0881, or you'd like me to ask the question, no problem, 251-928-2111. We're in conversation with Joe Condit, who is the chairman for the National Men's Conference due in Cincinnati next month. Stay with me here on the Turley Frequency. Here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm in a fascinating conversation with Joe Condit, who is the chairman of the National Men's Conference due in Cincinnati next month, and we'll be giving you details about how you can pick up tickets. It's also an event you can go to virtually, we've discovered this morning. So no matter where you're listening to this show or whether you're listening on Encore presentation somewhere, you can be at the National Men's Conference back in Cincinnati. Joe, I was just thinking during the break there, we mentioned John Wayne, Steve McQueen, and also Gary Cooper came to mind as three great, you know, masculine, silent guys. And you probably know, I mean, John Wayne famously became Catholic on his deathbed.
Right.
Gary Cooper converted to the faith about 3 or 4 years before he died. And he said on his deathbed, he sent a message to Hemingway, another great man. He said, who also converted to the faith, by the way, he said that... tell Pappy, you know, that was his name for Hemingway. He said, tell Pappy that converting to the faith was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
And you probably also know that Steve McQueen was baptized a Catholic, though his life was very far from the faith. But he came back to Christianity at the very, very end. And there's a very famous quote where he said, he was dying of cancer, and he said, the one thing I regret is not having more time to tell people about my Lord and Savior, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So, you know, it's important for men to know that these men who were kind of cinematic icons, they all come to the cross, right?
Right.
And they understand what we're talking about the real deal is St. Joseph and our Lord and our faith when it comes to masculinity. So tell me this. I was looking at your lineup, and I know how pressured it is to organize something like this. In fact, I'm going to a big conference here in London tomorrow, Joe, which is linked to Bishop Barron, Word on Fire. It's the first post-pandemic big Catholic conference right in the heart of London. I'm going on a press pass, so I'm just going there to meet people. It's enjoyable. But I know the organizer, and I spoke to him the other day, and you will have some sympathy for this. I think he needed to have a lie down, right? Because mm-hmm. the pressure and the stress of organizing these things. But in some ways, and tell me what you think, it's a vignette for what men have to struggle with, right? Because as you were talking about the movie characters, men in particular have to be at the forefront of those difficult situations for our family, for our spouses, for our children. We are called to the front line, would you say?
Absolutely. And we need support system. You know, like we said before, you can't do this alone. And a lot of men, when they come to these types of events, they realize, wow, that other guy's just like me, or they're struggling with the same thing I am, or I didn't even know this resource existed that could help me, you know, because sometimes it's going to be embarrassing. They don't want to talk about it. So it's all been internal up until that point. So unless men get together, as you know, as it says in the Bible, when two men come together in the name of Christ, there he is. That's what we're trying to do. And, you know, Kevin, you and I both know Joe Condit can't make miracles, or none of us can. But what we can do is bring men together in his name, and the good Lord takes it from there. And I promise you, I've already seen miracles happen, which I would be happy to share that story with you right now very quickly if we have the time.
Dude, we have the time. I love miracles. Go for it, Joe.
So February last year, we had Jim Caviezel as our headline speaker. And I have an advisor who actually is hilarious. He called me when we got Jonathan Roomie this year. He goes, Condit, You mean to tell me you got Caviezel, one of the famous, most famous Jesus characters of all time, last year? This year you got one of the most famous Jesus characters currently. He's like, ah, for your hat trick, it better be the real thing or I'm not going to be impressed. So, like I said, the National Men's Conference has been very blessed, very blessed. But we literally saved a life last year. We honored a guy by the name of Tony Moss. Tony Moss is the founder of Rua Woods. Rua Woods is a Catholic-minded psychiatry psychologist, among many other things. They teach the theology of the body. Mm-hmm. They pump that into school systems. I mean, they do incredible work. Great. There was a kid in the audience. We awarded Tony the Evangelization Person of the Year Award, which is like a lifetime achievement award. Kid comes up to me afterwards. He's a young kid, about first freshman. Says, hey, thanks so much for this conference. I came with my dad. My friend's suicidal, and I'm the only one that knows about it. He won't even let me tell his family. He won't tell his family. But now that I know about this Rua Woods and this Tony Moss guy, I was texting him during the conference, and he told me and promised me that he would check it out. I said, young man, you look underage. Here's my email. I can't reach out to you, but feel free to email me. Kevin, he emailed me 2 months later and said that his friend checked him into the facility. Because that young man came to the National Men's Conference, we found a way through God to hopefully save a life. And that's why we do this and go through the stress and everything you talk about putting these events on.
That's a very powerful testimony, Joe, and you will know the scriptures as well as I, which talks about if you save one soul, you cover a multitude. So good on you and the National Men's Conference. That's wonderful. But you're reminding me of my attempts to get men together. And I don't know if you find this, Joe. Women have an innate gift, right? Women, and a lot of women don't understand this about men, I find that women can just meet together and have a coffee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Or phone each other up and seemingly speak for hours on the phone. I don't mean that in a sexist way. It's just an observation. OK, so if anybody wants to complain, phone EWTN. But what I find with men is that men, because I was involved with various men's groups trying to help men live their faith many years ago, and I found that I could not get them together, right? You phone up a man and say, hey, we want to meet and talk about being men. Nobody's interested, right? I wouldn't be interested, right? You phone me tonight and say, Kevin, I want you to come to this group to talk about being a man. I'd say, what do you mean? What's this? So I devised this thing, which was a book club, right? And I got all these men at the local school and we all went to the book club. And you know what? They loved the book club because it was an excuse for them to turn up. We all went down the pub. Most of them hadn't read the book. Most of them hadn't even read the title of the book, but they loved the conversation. Do you know what I mean? And they loved the fraternity once we got them into that zone. But it took there had to be a premise. There had to be a reason for men to get together. Is that your experience?
Absolutely. No, Kevin, you have to give – see, men immediately think, oh, that's – you know, I'm not weak. You know, that's our ego. That's our immediate reaction to most
that's
things.
That's it.
And I'm talking from experience.
Me too.
You know? And so, you know, I love to join mixed group, mixed bag, as you will, a men's group. So I'm actually going to do one here soon. I was given a book by the leader. He asked me to be a part of it called The Measure of a Man. I still have to look at it. I don't know if it's Catholic or not. I think it's a more of a Protestant book. But I love to be in these men's groups because in a very subtle and also a very kind way, I'm able to offer a Catholic perspective to guys that aren't Catholic, no matter what faith they are. And they actually learn more about the Catholic faith in this type of setting, and they think, wow, that's not what I was told or what I was taught about the Catholic faith. I was really misinformed, which is a lot of the times the case, right? Especially in today's society. So I couldn't agree with you more. Men need support. They need a reason to get together. And when they do it, it's like, oh my goodness. Like that gentleman, the guys that come up to me after my wife made me come. And what was I thinking? I'm going to definitely come next year. You know, they show up at these men's groups that you have and they think, oh, I should have done this a long time ago, you know.
It's so true. I mean, and you're reminding me of, I mean, the book club got very, very popular, and then I moved out of that part of London, and I think it more or less disappeared. And I forgot all about it, Joe, until a few years later, I got a text from somebody in it, and it was just one line. He said, "Kevin, the book club changed my life." Now, I don't know how, I don't know in what manner, but I thought to myself, well, it was worth it just for that. But you're absolutely right. It's that idea that, there has to be something. That's where sports plays a big part. And I know sports plays a big part at your conference, because it's not just the playing of sports, but it's also the, certainly in this country, the male fraternity of going to watch sports together, which is often an excuse, I think, for just men to hang out together. Is it the same in the States?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in sports, really, you can find a lot of spirituality in sports, overcoming adversity, joining together with your brother, right? And I think that's why it does, because men, we naturally are drawn to this idea of coming together as a group, a tribe, if you will, and accomplishing something together, you know, and that's sports, you know, most sports. There's singles person sports, of course, like tennis, et cetera. But in team sports, you can learn more about life than you would sometimes in a classroom,
that's,
you know.
True.
And that's the whole point about the conference, you know, and these types of conferences we're talking about. Come and learn something and meet someone or learn about a resource that is going to enrich your life that you would never have been able to do or have the ability to do on your own without making that simple effort. My dad's always told me growing up, Joe, half a life is just showing up. What a simple part of advice. But that advice is so true.
It's Joe. It is true. Somebody said that to me the other day. I mean, half of it is showing up. And you know what? I can't believe how many people don't bother to show up. That's right. The other thing. But listen, just talk me through this, right? So somebody's listening to this and they want to go to it, right? They don't want to go online because we're all sick of the virtual stuff, right? We want real experience, which is we want to actually shake hands, look somebody in the eye, feel their presence in the real world, not this virtual world that's taken over. So I'm sitting somewhere and I'm thinking, I'd like to go to this. And then you know what starts to kick in, Joe? Just the sorts of thoughts that you're talking about. I'm thinking, well, I'll get there and I don't know anybody and nobody will talk to me. And how does it run? And do I just sit in a chair and listen to talks all day? Talk me through that. Help me through that. Help me to get my credit card out.
Start to finish, men go to National Men's Conference right now and go on there and learn. We got the accommodation set up. We tell you where to go. We've got the tickets that you can buy, the ticket lineup. But what's going to happen is we partnered and have had partnership with the Archdiocese of Cincinnati for many years. Since I brought it back in 2018, and they're going to have a special team ready and waiting to greet all the men coming in to make sure they have what they need. We're going to try and get into the men through that technology. It's called Social Connect. That's how men are going to interact actually with the day, ask questions, connect with each other. That's how we're going to be communicating with the audience real time. This technology is going to change the way that conferences is done. I know it. And they're going to be able to stay in touch with each other and with us. So no man is going to come and feel awkward or out of place. There will be a ton of greeters there to help them find their seats, find what they need, make sure they know where the resource. We call them solution booths, not vendor booths. They're a solution to a problem or a solution to a positive impact. Those are all our vendors. Right. So the day is meant for us, me and Kevin, you and I, to connect with each other through technology and in person and be able to stay in touch with each other, but also connect with our sponsors, our vendors, and find those resources there and hear some great speeches along the way. And all through that, I ask each man to grab a friend and bring somebody, because you just ask God, send the person in your life. Anytime I go to a conference like this, send the person in my life, good Lord, that you want me to meet today. And you know, it's amazing when you ask him what he'll do for you.
Absolutely. And I think that's the other thing. I mean, if you're listening to this today and you're feeling inclined to go to this conference, it's probably the Holy Spirit who's got somebody or something waiting for you there that you need to hear, or you need somebody you need to meet. I've got a question for you from a listener, Joe. How can women support this effort?
Oh, that's the best question yet.
It's a good question.
Push their men, push their sons, push every man in their life to go to this event and be there in person, Kevin. Like you said, there is nothing nothing that can replace a handshake and look some man in the eye and become best friends for the rest of your life, like you and I are going to be after this, you know, even though we haven't met in person yet. But women can go on Facebook, go on all your social media accounts and share our videos at our Facebook pages. So National Men's Conference, you'll see it. It's got a picture of Jonathan Rumi, The Chosen. You'll see the other ones. Share on social media. We're getting blocked by big tech. You know, we're trying to. One of my staff send me a screenshot yesterday. They will not let us advertise on Facebook because we've been flagged for hate speech. You can't make this stuff up.
But Joe, do you know what? I would wear that as a badge of honor.
Well, you know, I think being a Christian is right, and that's in today's day and world with big tech holding true Christian values is tough to do.
Listen, you've got 10,000 seats only, okay? You're going to sell this out a couple of times over, okay? So don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit is greater than even Facebook, Google, and the whole shebang, okay? So don't worry about that. But it sounds like a really, really – I mean, the other thing which I guess is going – it's going to be good fun, right, Joe? The day is going to be really, really uplifting.
Very. If you talk to anyone, I still get messages from guys that were at the very first Catholic men's conference ever in the United States back in 94, sending me messages that last year was the best conference they've been to yet. And that conference was just filled with emotion, prayer, random people showing up, you know, just people just kept showing up. I mean, I'm talking, you know, senators and congressmen that were there. Then we actually let one go up and give his conversion story, you know, and men loved it. We're trying to make this a very immersive experience. It isn't just, and we've kind of mastered that with the conference itself of getting the, like with the technology, getting the men involved that are there, being able to communicate real time, getting our speakers up there and having more of a fireside chat rather than here's the next guy at the podium, you know, you have to sit there for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make the talks quicker, you know, it's more TED talk type of style, quick, but it's so the day goes by so fast and you feel like, oh my goodness, that was just you know, overload of inspiration. I want to go be a better man for my family.
Okay, so Joe, we are fast running out of time, and I think you've really whetted our appetite for this course. So listen, tell people again where they can pick up tickets, when it's on, where it's on, etc.
Please go to nationalmensconference.com right now. Women, lead the charge. Buy a ticket for your men. Get them there. It's the best investment you can make in your man and your family because, you know, women know men are – we need more help than anybody. So sure, nationalmensconference.com. We'll see you guys there at the first annual National Catholic Men's Conference held in the United States in Cincinnati, Ohio on March 25th.
That's wonderful. Listen, Joe, we're about to say the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the next half an hour. We have people calling in with requests for prayers for different things. And I just had a note from our executive producer that we are going to pray in that, get all of Southern Alabama praying for this National Men's Conference, that you sell out and you sell out big time, and that everybody there is brought to sanctity by attending the National Men's Conference.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Joe, you've got an open invitation to come back anytime to talk about John Wayne, Steve McQueen, and anything else.
I wish I had your accent. I'd love to, brother. I really enjoyed this.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Joe Conduit, nationalmensconference.com. Check him out. When we come back, we'll be checking out the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stay with me here on the Heart Nation.